We are back on Dateline Washington. This is the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is David Harris, Executive Director of the American Jewish Committee. We want to get his thoughts as the conflict between Israel and the terrorist group Hamas gets close now to 2 weeks in length. But we are getting close potentially to a ceasefire agreement as both Egypt and the French have come together with a proposal that the Israelis say they are seriously considering. And David, thanks so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure, Greg.
What do we need to know about this proposal, and how sound do you think it is?
Well, first of all, before answering the question, I have to say thank you for identifying Hamas correctly as a terrorist group. So many of the media refer to it blandly as a militant group or fighters. You call them correctly. They are a terrorist group. As to the ceasefire proposal, the Egyptians and the French, as you say, have been working very hard in an effort to find a solution. The key to this from the Israeli perspective, I believe, is how do you stop the smuggling of weapons into Gaza, and then how do you assure that those weapons, if they get into the country, won't be used against Israel, as they have for many years now? If answers can be found to those two critical questions, I think we may see the possibility of some kind of lull or temporary truce or even a ceasefire, Greg.
David, it would seem that the first part of that's a little bit easier than the second, perhaps keeping dangerous weapons out of Gaza, especially if those smuggling tunnels in and out of Egypt can somehow be compromised. But once those weapons are in Gaza, as long as Israel doesn't reestablish a presence there, how difficult will it be to keep Hamas from inflicting damage on Israel once again if they get the weapons?
I think it's going to be very, very difficult to stop Hamas, which is why the first part is so critically important. If the weapons can't get in, then, of course, Hamas's ability to manufacture its own weapons in Gaza may be more severely limited. But even so, there's also been discussion about some kind of foreign presence in Gaza to try and help monitor things. We know that that, too, is not a perfect solution. And even if there are foreign troops in Gaza, you know, will they confront Hamas? I'm not so sure. The foreign troops in Lebanon that were there to challenge Hezbollah have not been doing much in the way of challenging Hezbollah. So there's no perfect solution. But then again, the perfect is the enemy of the good, and I think what the French and the Egyptians are looking for is not the perfect solution, but rather a good solution.
One of the things that was a problem for the Israeli government in 2006 in the war with Hezbollah was that international condemnation seemed to grow day by day with concern over the civilian casualties and so forth, and Israel ceased military operations before the mission was complete. Do you sense that happening again, that the outcry over what critics call a disproportionate response is having an impact on their strategy, or do you believe they're going to press on until they feel that they've completely reduced, or at least largely reduced, the ability of Hamas to continue the rocket attacks?
The Israelis have said quite clearly that they intend to continue because they understood that the end of the conflict with Hezbollah was, in a sense, inconclusive. And Hezbollah felt that they could count on the international community and to be, in a way, an ally by putting increasing pressure on Israel and eventually stopping the conflict before Israel could achieve some measure of victory. Israel learned a lot from that conflict with Hezbollah and doesn't want to repeat the mistake, if you will, of that conflict. This conflict can't end from Israel's point of view unless and until Hamas understands that Israel's deterrent capacity is strong, its will is strong, and it's prepared to engage Hamas when necessary until Hamas understands that the price it will pay for continuing to send missiles and rockets into Israel, terrorizing up to 1 million people in southern Israel, is a price that's too high for Hamas. Unless that outcome occurs here, Greg, then I fear that the Israelis will feel that this conflict, too, was not worth the price.
Do you believe we'll get to that point, though, David, given how Hamas feels about Israel's right to exist and the fact that ultimately it's the Iranians who are influencing this to a large extent?
It's a great question without a simple answer. Hamas is dedicated to Israel's destruction. It's the core of its covenant. Any of your listeners who want to understand Hamas need to read its covenant, which is readily available on the Internet. So Hamas exists to destroy Israel. So question one is, can Israel achieve any measure of deterrence? I hope so. Hamas now understands that it can't both attack Israel and then hide behind the international community every time Israel employs countermeasures. Israel will strike back. That they now understand. The Egyptians understand that having Hamas in Gaza is a threat to them as well. After all, Hamas is equally opposed to moderate Arab regimes and is opposed to any form of peace process in the region.
And
thirdly, and ultimately, the question is, what will the people of Gaza do? The people of Gaza essentially elected Hamas to be part of the government. Will the people of Gaza wake up one day and realize that Hamas represents a dead-end strategy? It represents an isolation of Gaza from the rest of the world? At the end of the day, Greg, the real key to this is in the hands of the people of Gaza. I hope one day soon they'll wake up and realize that peace could be around the corner if they make the right decisions.
And David, we've mentioned the Egyptians a couple of times now. How good faith is their effort to broker something here? We've talked about these tunnels that go between Gaza and Egypt. Has there been any concerted effort on the part of Egypt to stop that smuggling operation?
There's been some, not enough, Greg. But clearly, Egypt understands that for its own sake, not for Israel's sake, but for its own sake, it can't afford to have a Hamastan, a kind of terrorist entity, as a permanent feature on its own border. Egypt worries about the Muslim Brotherhood within Egypt, which is a destabilizing Islamist force. Hamas is an element of the Muslim Brotherhood, so they're kissing cousins. So Egypt has its own interest to try and control what goes on in Gaza, which means the border as well. And I think this recent conflict is a reminder to Egypt that it's got to do more. And I know the Israelis have been appreciative of what President Mubarak has sought to do in the last number of days. So, again, it's not as if Egypt and Israel are suddenly the closest of pals, but each for its own interests has a need to try and ensure that Hamas does not come out stronger in this conflict.
David, unfortunately, our time is up. As always, a great pleasure to have you with us. Thanks for your time and your thoughts.
It's always my pleasure, Greg. Thank you.
David Harris is the Executive Director of the American Jewish Committee. This is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network.